AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
No blades, no bows, leave your weapons here. That's a line from the film Prince of Thieves that's burned into my head, and I thought I should start this ad with it because I'm talking about Robin Hood, okay? It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks. And I shouldn't say lets you. I should say lets me, so you understand how simple and how easy and how uncomplicated Robin Hood is, because even I know how to do it. So they make financial services work for everyone. It's, you know, it's sort of egalitarian. It's not just for the wealthy anymore. You do yourself a favor. Robinhood has no commission fees or costs. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. It's easy to use. The design is awesome. You can search stock collections like popular, entertainment, social media, female CEOs. Put your money where your mouth is. You want to only invest in businesses owned by POCs? I'm sure you can track that down on the list. Learn by doing. That's the best thing, is that I'm learning about investing by playing with this app. I shouldn't even call it playing because it's real and I'm using real money. Robinhood is giving listeners to a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at mighty.robinhood.com. That's mighty.robinhood.com.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is playing with his blue webbed ball. Shout out to Blue Web Balls. If you want to purchase one, use promo code MIGHTY and get yourself a discount. Blue Web Balls. As you know, I actually am not sponsored by any dog toys. I don't know why I always do that. I'll tell you why I am now, because I'm stoned as fuck, because you know how you say when in Rome as to like, I got to do this? This, in this case, it's
when you invite Rome to your house. I'm not going to not smoke weed when my guest is Abdullah Saeed.
What up?
Yo, dude.
How's it going, John?
I just had a white guy panic that I mispronounced your last name.
No, it was perfect, man. And you know, frankly, I'm not a huge stickler about it. I was at one time in my life, but now I pronounce it like the way I say it is Abdullah Saeed. And you know what? Close enough, you can call me Abudid Bubu, and I would probably be like, that's cool with me.
So me saying Abdullah is incorrect. It's Abdullah.
Abdullah or Abdullah.
Abdullah.
Or, yeah. And any of those things, again, are totally acceptable to me.
That's,
you know,
interesting.
All the sounds are there.
It's the effort that counts.
Exactly.
That's what I always tell people, because like people get afraid to try to print. I go like... mine is 6 letters long and everyone fucks it up. It's Gabrus. Yeah, it's Gabe. It's unfortunately Gabrus. I'm like, why couldn't it have been Gabrus when I was fucking 12 in 1994?
No, it's
when
very...
everyone was fucking homophobic and everything was gay.
Gabrus, I know,
was,
right?
I was destroyed.
But you know what? I think that visually, your name feels like the name of someone who does podcast or radio, because it has Gab in it.
Yes.
Like you're like a Gabby guy, and it's sort of not so on the nose. Like your name would be like Jim Talk. You know what I mean? It's like it's a little different. Yeah. It's like John Gabers. You know, it really works. I think
I like one time was super high and just kind of like free associating off my last name, and the terms gabbing, because it came up, hubris, because it sounds like that, and sort of also part of my personality.
Which also, you're very proud, you know, very proud up to a fault.
It is ruining most of my personal relationships. And then also, globoris means hairless.
What, really?
Hairless.
Which is not true.
No.
Wait, are you pretty hairless?
No,
oh
no
my God.
Hair. I just
you
fleshed,
are like a seal.
Yeah.
Wait, and that's natural?
I don't shave. I shaved once for county high school champs in 2000.
Get out
when
of
I was
town.
Trying to go sub-minute in the 100 freestyle.
So you have no butt hair. Is that true?
I have some crack hair.
Oh, okay. So, like, you
no
suffer a
hair.
Little.
No cheek hair.
Well, it's
and
really...
And I have pubes, and I have a fucking full beard and a full head of hair. Thank God. Knock on wood. As
yeah,
I always do.
Seriously,
anytime I
man.
Say full head of hair, it's the only thing I'm vain about is... because. I'm Ugh. Fat and I don't dress well, but like the only thing I could always say is like, well,
yeah.
I got this fucking head of hair, baby.
Yeah.
And if that goes, I'm a fat bald guy. You can't be both.
Your great great grandfather's corpse, bald ass corpse, just like turning his grave
like,
a little bit. It's like
flips
the,
me off.
The juju's coming out of it.
Oh, so I went on this. I'm already talking about myself. The underlying theme of this podcast
is
me
I
want to
know
make
more,
it.
Man. That's why I'm here, man.
Well, you're also here because we always pick a topic to talk about on High and Mighty. And we met through my mutual friend, Rye, who you were on Bon Appetit. What, you
my
hosted
guy.
Bon Appetit, and he was your weed connoisseur or weed expert.
Resident weed genius.
Putting the resin in resident is Rye. Wow, that was a fucking stretch. But yeah, you were a host of Bon Appetit, a show I loved. But also you had done writing and other... I remember seeing you doing other segments for Vice about weed prior to that, too,
yeah, that's right?
Right.
I did a bunch of stuff. I produced and hosted the TV version of Bon Appetit, and before that I hosted Bon Appetit the web series, which was produced by David Bienenstock, who I now do a podcast with, Great Moments in Weed History.
Oh shit.
And and did a bunch of stuff for Vice. I also did a series called Vice Does America, which like barely anyone's ever seen. But and then a bunch of stuff, like one of the ones I did for like YouTube digital whatever was called Mad Honey. And it was me in the Himalayas consuming psychoactive honey.
Yo, dude. Yeah. See, that's a pretty fucking dope gig.
It was super fun. It was like maybe the funnest, like, you know, work trip I've ever taken.
I'm
going to
check
life.
Out Mad Honey. I had not seen
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It's on there, man. That shit is crazy.
Well, that's cool as hell, because I want to know, how did you end up getting so associated with weed? Because there's like...
yeah.
Weed has got this like weird vibe now, where now it's like now it's becoming wine and craft beer.
Yeah.
But for a while it was like, don't make that your thing, you know? Like or like you could do it. Everyone, no one had problems with other, at least. But like if you were like, hey, look, I'm a stoner guy, people would be like, that's a negative stereotype. But now it's sort of like, you know, it's transitioned from like how we turned like fat to foodie and like drunk to like craft alcohol. Like we turned like stoner to like now it's sort of an art. It's like a
It's very in vogue. And actually, you know, I was just commenting about this to a friend the other day that the very prolonged process of legalization state by state, medical, recreational here in the United States, and the lack of like any federal action to expedite that actually just has elongated my career as a weed personality.
Right, because more and more people keep needing a weed concierge.
Yeah, and like it gets popular. Like, you know, my content, even that I've made ages ago, is becoming popular with different pockets of people as they come online in terms of like, oh, cannabis. Oh, it's a thing. Oh, now it's legal in my state. Like Oklahoma just legalized medical cannabis. There's going to be people there who are going to like search around on the internet and inevitably stumble across a bunch of my content.
Right.
Because I've been making weed content since 2012. So it's like 6 years now of stuff, you know? And, you know, which is like, I think it's cool because to me, the awareness is the important thing. Obviously, like a lot of that happens on its own with the movement, with the time that we're in now.
Right.
And nudging that along, you know, is that's been my thing for a little while. That's you know, I'm a cheerleader.
It's so cool. Yeah. And I find myself doing sort of the same still, even though like because I am a huge advocate for it for everyone. But specifically,
we're advocating right now. Yeah. Smoking these fatties.
Yeah. It's over there on the couch next to you. It's working, guys. It's working. But I find myself just having to always, anytime, especially with like some of my relatives, just go, it's drinking. It's this, just put it at least in your head, unpack it as exactly the same as drinking. You shouldn't do it like around minors. You shouldn't do it and drive, and you shouldn't do it like at your job if they're asking you not to.
So you know what, I agree with you that is a good way to analogize it for people, you know, because most
it's like
people
entry level understanding
however my view is a little bit more, I think, extreme on both ends of it, right? And this is it, you know, like I'm always like mad real about this shit because it's true, you know, when you like look at the facts and the fact that treating it the same, okay, that's like a step towards the, you know, in the right direction,
I mean, for
right?
the thought experiment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, alcohol is one of the most damaging and corrosive, you know, things like available to consume, right? You know, like, so, and cannabis is a thing that has literally never killed anyone. And, you know, like, this, it's weird. I see people, it's still a thing, like, oh, smoking, like, don't smoke around kids. They don't take into account that, like, clean air laws and our concept of secondhand smoke arises from tobacco having noxious secondhand smoke.
Right.
Cannabis does not have noxious secondhand smoke, right? So, in a perfect world to me, you know, I'm not saying, like, some people like alcohol, but I feel like, alcohol is perhaps, you know, regulated okay now, right? There's a lot of restrictions on it depending on where you are. But that's appropriate to what alcohol is, right? Which is a thing that kills people who overdo it.
Right.
Cannabis being the harmless thing that it is, I think you should be able to, you know, like you drink a glass of wine at dinner when your kids are around. You should be able to like hit a volcano, you know, while you're hanging out without the fear of judgment or something.
Right.
You know?
I literally was saying the other day that I think, and maybe part of this was the move from New York to California for me. I said, I think that when I have my like 10-year-old son at Thanksgiving or my 12-year-old son at Thanksgiving, they're going to know that what dad is doing is called smoking pot. And when I'm 18 or 21 or whatever, I will do it too. You know, legally with my dad or whatever, like the way like you are like, oh, having a beer with your dad is like this like weird passing of the manhood. You start, you know, maybe when you're 12, your dad lets you take a sip of one and, you know, and then it's like this thing. I feel like I was explaining that weed will be like that. I think in that, you know, I'll have my friend's kids over for dinner, my kid's friends. And it's like, oh, Mr. Gabris smoked a joint at dinner last night. And the other parents will be like, yes, that's fine. Yeah. That's like me having a glass of wine at the theme park.
I think
like,
that's
I'd love
great.
To just be able to, like, there's a weed smoking section at like fucking Disneyland. Like, why is there not, you know?
Yeah,
if
you know
could
what I mean?
Smoke tobacco somewhere, you should be allowed to smoke marijuana there for sure.
Also, I think school children should smoke weed. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Oh man, that's the kind of, you know, like audio that out of context could really be misconstrued. You know, if someone was like, "Wow,
dude, we
is
have
that
no
guy
snitches.
Joking?
We have no snitches on High and Mighty, or else I would have no career in Hollywood. Even less of a career in Hollywood if I had snitches based on the fucking disgusting opinions I've put out here on this podcast. Even a fucking no one's gonna call you on a bit when there's been like actually worse things said.
Yeah, right.
But.
And I've been doing stand-up for like 5 minutes, so now I can be like, everything I say is a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
that's
yeah.
my cover.
Yeah, well, it's especially here at in the High and Mighty Studios, you know, this is a consequence-free environment. But here's the thing. If I was sipping wine, I would be able to keep track of this conversation, though. There's the fundamental difference. Yeah. But
I like to
how
say,
did you get into wine? How did you get into weed recreationally for yourself? Not the weed career part of it. Because
right.
I have like a weird development story with weed in that like I tried it in high school and loved it, but then thought I was going to be a federal agent and heard
get
that
out.
So I didn't smoke
agent
weed.
Agent John Gabers. Oh my god, that sounds right too.
I thought I would be like you know like I was like I'll have to use my brains because I just wanted to be an action movie star. I had no idea at the time that like being in action movies would scratch the same itch, or being in movies, or like watching action movies, or talking about them. So now I fucking quit smoking weed, and then was like, freshman year of college, was like, oh, I'm not gonna be doing that. But then my roommates were very annoying when they were stoned. The five dudes I lived with, and then the seven dudes I lived with junior and senior year.
Too young.
So I was too young, exactly. And I was kind of like, okay, weed's not for me. I just want to be out of that circle. And then at 25, just at a bachelor party, a friend was like, you gonna smoke weed, dude? Because my buddy's a pothead. Shout out to Adam Pally. He would love to hear this.
Oh my God.
That he broke me
dude,
in.
Dude, Adam Pally once hosted a test episode for the late show or whatever the show comes on at like fucking 1:30 in the morning. Yo, that thing, I don't think anyone ever saw it.
The
but
one
it
with
was,
Schwartz when he goes and gets a tattoo.
Yeah,
in the
that's
street?
Right. And the guest is, I think, Howard Stern's wife.
Beth, yeah.
Yeah. And dude, that episode was a real hit with me and my friends, man. We really fucking loved
it. Oh, that's
it.
So
and
funny.
Ever since, I've really been stoked on the idea of seeing Adam Pally have a late night show.
That's so funny. He would fucking love to hear that.
Dude.
Because we started together in New York doing comedy. I mean, he's obviously blown up. But we were just hanging out the other... Wait, what was I just... we were just hanging out the other night and like... randomly someone else brought that up and it was just like I forgot how much I loved it. I watched that because I was already a fan and a friend and I was so hyped on it, and then it's so funny that someone who doesn't know, like, because that was like low-key, it was one night episode, was on it like one, it was during the blizzard in New York.
Yes, that's right. And he kept saying like none of this crew wants to be here.
Yeah, he's like they want to be home with their families.
My buddy Zeeshan, shout out Zeeshan, brought that to our attention and he was like, you gotta fucking see this. And we watched it, it's on YouTube somewhere random, and we were all like, this is fucking hilarious.
Oh,
and
that's
it's
so
brilliant,
great,
you know. And the idea of like a late night show where that's like the vibe, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm down. I would watch that four nights a week. So Adam Pally, I'm on board for you to fucking get a late night show. I'll do whatever I can to help make that happen.
Yeah, let's make that fucking shit happen. That's so fucking funny. He's gonna love to hear that. Well, so his bachelor party, I smoke weed out of an apple in a Las Vegas hotel, and that's me smoking weed for the first time in like 8 years or whatever, and I'm like, this is fucking fantastic. I smoke weed the whole weekend, come back to my girlfriend knows me as a guy who doesn't smoke weed, and I'm like, I think I really like smoking
weed.
I'm
a different man now.
I'm like, I tried it again, and I have like a different opinion. I never had a negative opinion about it. I just always didn't think it was for me. Because I
like,
took
does this mean you're going to stop going to church?
Yeah, it was like, does this mean you're going to stop drinking? I'm like, not yet. I'll be combining the two for a while. And then I was off, and that was from 25, that was, you know, 10 years ago. I remember buying my fucking $80 eighths delivery in Brooklyn illegally, you know?
Oh, boy. Wait, so were you getting like crazy exotic weed for 80 bucks an eighth or something? Or was it, were you just getting ripped off?
No, it was just like $80 and I think you had to buy 2 eighths because I lived in the outer borough. It was just like New York City delivery prices. It was like trying to get Postmates, yeah.
Dude, that, yeah, man, I remember way back in the day in New York, I mean way back, I'm talking like I guess 2003, 2004, yeah, right? Yeah. So, you know, there was Cartoon Network, which a lot of people remember as the delivery service in New York that, you know, they had little rectangular prismic jars, you know, like of weed. And they would have a little label on it. They had a bunch of strains. Weed was good for
Prime
the time.
Brooklyn was had the same the same rectangular lucite like cube kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you would find like D&D dice in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I definitely revealed something about myself there too. I played D&D as a kid.
Dude,
as well.
Yeah, I got fucking like mason jars full of dice. I fucking
awesome. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's clues all over this
Yeah,
room.
You'll see them when you see them. When you when you look at the bookshelf and it's exclusively like fantasy.
Oh man, you have Xenocide. You have no. Children of the Mind. That's outside of trilogy. That's like non-canonical fucking.
I read Ender's Game and really loved it, but then everyone told me about how sketchy Orson Scott Card's like personal life was.
Yeah,
and I pumped the brakes on reading the rest.
He's crazy conservative, I think, or something.
He's conservative and kind of like weirdly like. I think it's
a little racist
and homophobic and like pro-eugenics or something.
Wow,
like, I think
all
it might
the
be
stuff.
Like, it might be like really bad.
Yeah, like, holy crap.
Not sort of like, 80-year-old Arizona resident bad. It's like way worse.
He's like a pure fascist.
Yeah, he's fucked up.
He's like a weird, like racist, racio-fascist.
We should say at this moment, this is part of the thing about this podcast. We are often wrong. Like, just in case I'm way off and I'm confusing him with someone else.
I don't know, man. I've heard that. This isn't the first time I'm hearing that. All but right, I will say this. Ender's Game, fucking awesome.
It's a great book.
Fucking awesome. It's all really good.
And it's about video games.
Don't you think so? Jub Jub.
What was your dog's name again?
It is Jub Jub. By the way, that's a great fucking name. That's Ewok for happy, right?
Yeah, I think I stole that from Aunt Selma's lizard.
Yes.
Jub Jub. Yeah.
Jub Jub.
Not consciously, but unconsciously.
That's Arthur.
Arthur, that's right, buddy. Yo, this guy's cool as shit.
So again, as always, I asked you a question about how you got started in weed, and then I ranted.
Oh yeah, totally. So basically, I smoked weed for the first time in my parents' garage when I was 14, and it was like I was in Massachusetts. So this is a place that now has legal cannabis, which is an interesting thought. But like, honestly, it was pretty unremarkable. Like I've told the story a number of times, and I feel like it was nothing special. The first time I got really high was at a Warped Tour, and that was in 1999. So I guess I was 15. So the first couple times I smoked, or maybe 98, I can't remember. But the first couple times I smoked, it really didn't like work, you know. And, and a lot of people say that. That third time it really worked. I got crazy lit.
It's often because you're like not fully inhaling correctly. You have garbage weed. Like it's like like a combination of several things. It's not like people seem to think you have like absolute immunity to that. And it's like, no, it's not that. I feel like if you put a fucking tarantula to someone who's never smoked weed at 20.
Oh yeah, it'll do something.
Yeah.
I guess I was like Elon Musking a little bit. You know?
Is that what it's called now?
To fucking to like, yeah, you know, especially the face he made after it, where he like takes a hit and then he doesn't inhale it, obviously spits it out, and then like goes like, meh, doesn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, fuck you, fucking nerd. That's like the proof that I don't want to get on Elon Musk's
no, let's
side.
Get on it.
That motherfucker has like that thing from Alien, you know, like a giant robot that you can control by standing in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to fuck with that. But at the same time,
he has the loader machine that Sigourney Weaver uses to kill
him. Thing.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But, I mean, the guy totally faked that hit. And then, you know, I mean, he's got to have that action named after him now.
Right.
You know saying? But
I love learning new weed slang.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of learning new weed slang. It's so, because it's so like burgeoning, and there's not like really, You know, like I still only have like a couple of heavy stoner friends where it's like when we're together, it's guaranteed. Where I, you know, I have some friends and I'm like, I'll catch them. We're going to a concert. We're going to Haunted House. They'll blaze with me.
Yeah.
But then I have some friends that I'm just like, you want to go to the movies? And that means let's meet 20 minutes before and get high. Yeah. It's like,
you know, like the real, to me, the interesting part, or maybe the slightly more interesting part of my weed history was like, I left that town that I first smoked weed in and went to a Warped Tour. I left that town then. That was like where my dad lived. I went to live back with my mom in New Jersey, right? And this was going into 10th grade. And
it's a tough time to move.
Yeah,
it's
right?
A tough time to switch schools.
Yeah, and I had already switched schools a bunch of times. It was crazy, right? So I went there, and there was like I had gone to the middle school there for just a very short time previously. So I knew like one or two kids. And I was like, I remember the first thing being like, I got there and I was like, where's the fucking weed at? You know what I mean? Like, who's the person I have to talk to put fucking weed in my life? You
from
know?
From having tried it in Massachusetts, yeah. Being like, I don't know what's happening here in Jersey, but I think this is going to continue to be part of my life.
Yeah, yeah. Because I genuinely really liked the experience. Alcohol, I've had a spotty set of experiences with. It's made me sick many times. I barely drink now. I don't not drink. Like, I'll take a sip of something with whatever dinner, but I may drink half a beer, just the neck part, right? And, like, the rest of it just sits there. But, like, you know, I effectively don't really drink.
I drink way less, and it's really helped. It's really helped my digestive issues and weight and like knocking off calories.
Yeah, exactly.
Like weed has really helped me in that department. Like, and that is part of what I became like an acolyte of. Is that like I think you can have weed as like your only vice and kind of live a smooth life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, like because it's easy to wield correctly where I'm like, I know I'm not going to get high before I have to go shoot something. Yeah. I know I'm not going to get high before I have to get, if I get these five things done, and then I for the rest of the day it's writing, podcasting, or fucking something stupid, then I can fucking know I can burn one off.
And yeah, just go, exactly. I mean, like at the time it was definitely a priority for me, you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah, and I've been through that phase too. Yeah.
And I met, you know, these kids in that school who were like, you know, the main dude is this guy Jay, who, you know, I haven't spoken to in a long time, but he was like, you know, a guy I smoked a lot of weed with for sure back then. And that was like, we got into all sorts of trouble and there was all kinds of shenanigans. And a lot of what happened in that period became the stories that I told in the Weedicket column, which was on Vice. It was my first, that was the first thing. I was working at Vice doing music shit, music journalism for Creators Project and for Noisy. That's a crazy thing. That was a phase of my career where like I got to interview like DJ Shadow, Flying Lotus, LP, Kid Koala.
Awesome.
All these like artists that I was like really, you know, like were like my favorite fucking artists. And it was like a really interesting stage in my career before I started doing weed shit. But then once I started doing weed shit, I was doing the Sunday column Weedicket on Vice, on Vice.com. And it was all like stories from my life that are just like funny and like, but whatever. Like I was like reading David Sedaris a lot back
then. Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of like ripping off that style in some cheap way, in some shitty like copy of that. But like, you know, it was all just stories from my life. And like that whole period of high school of like, we used to run from the cops all the time. All we were doing was smoking weed and fucking around and not even like petty vandalism maybe here and there, but not, that was not a central activity.
Right.
We just wanted to get high and drink and just hang out. And we got chased around with,
because there's no place to do it, so you got to do it like in your car or at a outside the school or in like this
the golf course
sump. Yeah,
the park.
If we jump this fence, the cops almost never come
in. Yeah, up by the water tower.
We had twin lakes, Martin Ave, Newbridge. Like these were all the spots.
Shout out Mount Tabor, New Jersey, where all of our spots were essentially. But yeah, that was like
you're writing stories about getting into shenanigans.
Yeah, getting into trouble, you know.
And then how is weed, how much is weed a part of your life now? As like, what's your,
It's definitely, I mean, you know, it's a big part of it in terms of I smoke weed every day, you know?
Yeah.
Unless I'm traveling, somewhere where I can't, I'm puffing. So, like, yeah, I mean, in that sense, that's fundamentally how it's a part of my life. In terms of, like, the amount of my content that, like, still revolves around it, for sure. Like, you know, the stuff, there's, like, shows and stuff I'm pitching or making or, you know, gonna be making that are definitely weed related. It's still a big issue for me that I want people to have an understanding of cannabis beyond what legalization says it is. Like, legalization has turned into this weird, you know, very like suffocating thing for, I think, what the cannabis industry really should be. So, you know, I wish people would, you know, sort of just be more aware of the nature of that. And I think, you know, I want my content to speak to that.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think, like, people are missing out. Like, people are missing out because of some preconceived notion or some slight hesitancy.
Yeah.
That if you can knock a few of those barriers down for people and, like, have them introduce cannabis into their life, like, you're welcome. Like, that's, like, the gift that you want to give. Like, that's awesome.
Exactly. You know, and, like, that, to me, there's been a lot of failures on television of shows that don't properly, I mean, in my view, don't properly represent cannabis. But, you know, for example, like, you know, so I've worked on High Maintenance
as
an actor and a writer. My friends, the Jakey Clowns, make that show. It's like, you know, in my mind, that's like an example of a show, you know, that represents cannabis really perfectly.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. That show, I think, is like such, and I like try to tell, I sell everyone on it, and it's great. And I'm like, same. And it's like, it's not weed humor. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. 'Cause
I know that's like a turnoff to a lot of people. And I agree.
Yeah.
I don't even like weed humor.
It's these really emotional stories, you know, like, and they call it like sad com, you know, it's like sad comedy. And it really, like, you know, in this really short amount of time, you go deep with this character, and you know what I mean? Like, see,
yeah, I love
you
it.
Really
the
get into their
the
shoes.
The anthological part of it is so fun. And then also, like, just how it's like, these are the types of people, it's like cheesy, but it's like, these are the types of people that are using cannabis, and they're all types of people.
Yeah, and they're and very real.
Yeah.
Those guys have a way of just, like, you know, being able to do that shit.
They just like fucking speak right to it.
Are you a
wake and bake guy?
Yes.
That's my treat. That's something I don't allow myself every day.
Oh yeah.
I like because I'm good at, I'm not very productive. Period. Without weed, adding weed, I'm slightly less productive. So weed is like, I do use it as a reward with myself. It's my carrot.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, let me get up, memorize this audition, hit that audition, hit the gym, and then from that gives me at like 3 o'clock, come home, do a little bit of something, and then you're fucking coasting.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like a back half of the, but then every like a Saturday or a Sunday is like a treat day where I'm like, my wife's like, it's 9 a.m. and I'm like standing on the porch with a fucking blunt in my mouth. I'm like, I know, and I can't wait to order breakfast burritos.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, basically, I'll tell you exactly my morning routine if you care to hear it.
I 100% want to.
All right. So, no, I wake up generally around 8-ish, 8:30, depending on if it's been a late night.
Adult time for a day jobless person to wake
up. Very important to note, however, that is 11:30 on the East Coast, where I lived for the last 20 years. So, technically, on my internal clock, I'm in a perfect situation. I'm waking up nice and early, but, you know, technically, I'm waking up late, according to
your internal
me
clock.
For the last 20 years. So then I'll get out of bed, right?
Smart.
Yeah.
That's a good first move.
Yeah. You know? What I'm trying not to do is pick up my phone and look at Instagram right away. Because, like, that's honestly, that I started doing that at some point. I caught myself pretty quick. But Instagram is an addictive thing.
Instagram
that you have
and
to
Twitter,
watch yourself.
And Twitter for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I like to just, like, I love the constant input of new information.
You got that screen time shit, right? The thing that measures your screen time.
Dude, I also recommend this. I got an alarm clock.
Mm.
and now my phone can just charge in another room where I'll hear it if it rings.
Oh.
But I don't have to, because I use that as an alarm and as a flashlight to find my bed when my wife's asleep, I bring it right into the nightstand, which means I look at it right before I go to bed and often look at it right when I wake up. And that stresses me out that it's the last thing and the first thing. And I'm sleeping next to my wife.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
The, quote unquote, the one. And I'm looking at my phone before and after bed. Like,
yeah.
That's like not right. Yeah.
But anyhow, back to my morning routine.
Yes, yes.
So.
You're out of bed.
Yeah, I'm out of bed, right? I'll stand on the yoga mat, right? That's like a few feet in front of the foot of my bed. And I'll do like 5 minutes of yoga, right? Which is not something I started doing until I just really fucking had to. Otherwise, I'd have headaches all day. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm old now.
I spend about 5 minutes a day completely like bent over in a back bend,
right?
Like stretching. And I truly need it for my like back to make it through a day.
It's not some like, oh, yeah, you have like,
yeah,
oh, you're just like pooping around. No, like, that's super necessary. So I'll
feel
do
you
that.
On that. I feel you on that.
I'll do this like shoulder exercise that, again, I have to do to like prevent headaches, basically. And then I'll roll a fatty like OG joint, right? And maybe I'll mix it with sativa, like maybe half and half. But either all OG or some OG and some sativa, but never like a whole. Your whole sativa in a joint, it just doesn't taste as good to me. Like, it's got to like, I'll just like the sort of baseline OG thing, right? So I roll that. Now I have this blender, right, that I got from Target, and I felt very proud because I price matched it on the phone in my store and got the thing
discount?
For $20.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And I thought I was a genius, but the thing is worth about $20 because it's a piece of shit.
Oh, okay.
And it barely can blend.
Target wins again.
I hope it's not listening to this podcast. And be kind of awkward.
You go home
go
and
back.
It's hanging by its own cord.
Yeah. But so basically.
Written in pina colada is fuck you.
Yeah, right. So into that thing, I put a banana, a half a pear, usually, ooh, right? Maybe like two strawberries if they're there, like a date or two if they're there. A teaspoon, a heaping teaspoon of hemp powder, right? Because I'm such a weed guy.
Dude, I gotta drink it.
Yeah, I gotta even drink it. I stick it in my dick hole. I fucking do it all.
I wake up, I inhale through my penis.
But yeah, no, but because genuinely, but this is a thing though. I mean, you know what? I'm sitting here making jokes about it, but I kind of do believe it. Look, cannabis is one of the earliest cultivated crops. Literally, it's been used as like a nutritional substance by ancient peoples, by our ancestors in Central Asia and shit. That's kind of real. Not to fucking totally dork out about
no,
that.
This is the place to do that.
Yeah, you know, but that shit's very real. So hemp powder goes in there. Then
this sounds
in,
fucking awesome, by the way.
Dude, yeah, it's so I'm gonna put a lot of nice stuff in. I'll put some almond coconut milk and some other shits and a spoon of peanut butter. And then I stick like, so it all sounds real nice. And then I stick like spinach or kale in it. And it makes it taste like gray liquid. Like weird.
But then, it gets some greens in as well.
Yeah, but it gets it in there. And then I will sit down and, man, you know, over the years, they would do this kind of thing and watch like The Daily Show, Jon Stewart back in the day, or watch like, you know, whatever, some shit on TV, but I feel like there's nothing to watch now. There's nothing
there used
from
to be
last
something
night.
That was a daily like thing where you're like, this was on last night, I'm watching it today.
Yeah.
Like the same. Yeah. And The Daily Show is a good example, or some of the late night talk shows that people got into.
Desus and Mero, rest in peace.
Well, they'll be back strong. The brand is strong.
Oh, the show are rest in peace, not the dudes.
breaking news. I mean, I can't believe you come the high and mighty for the breaking news. I don't even know when this episode's coming out, but we just got it. I love those dudes. I met those dudes doing MTV2 shit, and I just fell in love. And I was like the stoner from Geico, just before Lo Duval has fucking become a huge weed head. So I was like, when I met when I met those guys, I was like, yo, I want to smoke a blunt with you guys so bad. And then just like a year ago, they were all at Clusterfest together, and I like tweeted at them. I'm like, yo, I know you're busy and shit, but I'd love to smoke another blunt with you guys. And they were like, come to our fitting. I went to their dressing room like right after their show and like smoked the blunt. Their manager's like, who's this guy? And they were like, white guy from this like old.
That's great, man. Yeah, I was on a guest on their show early on.
That's so awesome.
Promoting Bon Appetit, same network shit. But yeah, this, as a show, is really good. I really hope the new iteration is dope.
Oh, I'm sure. I trust those guys. Yeah, They're so fucking good. Yeah. All right, so then you make your smoothie, settle in.
Yeah, so then I'm you know,
are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not actually, but I am eating less meat now, kind of consciously, you know, because I think I realized that it, like dairy, for example, makes me feel bad. Oh my God, as I'm saying this shit, I'm like, oh okay, you're turning into exactly the stereotypical fucking douche nozzle.
No, but
that goes to California and is like, I don't eat blah blah blah. Like,
no, I think it's like a mid-30s thing too.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a mid-30s. You start to know what your body like does better with. Like my wife doesn't eat red meat or pork anymore, and it just, she feels much better now that she does that. I eat way less gluten, and I feel so much better since doing that. I drink less beer, and I feel so much better since doing that.
Yeah. Dude, right when you said mid-30s thing, and it took me on that journey, I felt like this impending doom was suddenly, I've never felt it before in my life. And I suddenly felt it now of like, I'm in my mid-30s.
Yeah, but mid-30s is fucking different in L.A.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Seriously,
yeah,
you just when you see a fucking 65-year-old man running in a triathlon,
yeah, and, wearing you know, like a thong or whatever,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, when you see like jacked old gay dudes, you're just like, there's fucking hope in Los Angeles,
yeah, you know. Yeah. Or then like,
and then it's because you drink a fucking pear, stereotypical stoner fucking, and it is because you smoke weed instead of drink alcohol, and it is because you hike outdoors
and
get
do
time,
yoga,
and do yoga and shit.
Oh, man.
That is why you get to be a 70-year-old action star.
Yeah, right. No, it's true.
I mean,
man.
Money fucking helps too, obviously.
Yeah. Yo, can I take a quick pee break?
Yeah, sure. Guess what I did this morning after I got out of the shower? Held my hair in my hand and checked my hairline and checked how thin I was going and, you know, moved it all around and got a little stressed because a lot of my friends are going bald. I'm in my mid to late 30s, or as I like to say, my super late 20s. But 2/3 of all dudes lose their hair by 35. And if you start to notice that you're missing hair or you're losing hair, it's too late. You got to go preventative. So be wary. You know it. You don't want to go full LeBron, and we can't all afford the hairline treatment where they spray you down to your eyebrows with a forehead so small. It's called a two-head. Guys, science has made baldness optional. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Hims, forhims.com. They will connect you with real doctors and medical grade solutions. No snake oil pills, no weird gas station stuff, no foreign, you know, no driving to Tijuana and buying some bootleg stuff. No. No waiting room, no doctor visits. You save time. You don't have to, there's, you know, it's a little ease on the embarrassment level of it all. So just go to forhims.com/mighty, answer a few quick questions, and then the doctor will review and can prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. So my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. Go to website for full details. This would, of course, cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to forhims.com/mighty. That's forhims.com/mighty. forhims.com/mighty. We're talking Bombfell. Bombfell is an easier way for men to get clothes. Just a simple questionnaire and you are matched one-to-one with a dedicated personal stylist. You never get charged above retail price. They have free shipping and returns, convenient home try-on, all the stuff. Look, I hate shopping. I hate going to store. I hate trying on clothes, and especially hate it like when I'm not in my own home and I can't do it comfortably, and I got to do it in like a, oh, of course, the 40 waist doesn't fit in these pants. Oh, the shirt is actually the XXLs run smaller. It's brutal. I do not want to do it anymore. So you can get fully personalized clothes handpicked for you by your stylist, email you their selections. You have 48 hours to make any changes or cancel. You're in total control. Then you receive the clothes. You have 7 days to say what you want to keep, and keep more, get more. If you keep 4 items, you get 20% off. Keep 3 items, 15, 2 items, 10. And it's completely flexible. You receive clothes when you want and pause and cancel at any time. How much better is that than shopping? Okay. So go to bombfell.com/mighty. Look, we talked to Bombfell to get $25 off your first purchase. So go to bombfell.com/mighty for $20 off your first purchase. That's bombfell.com/mighty. Bombfell, open and clothes. Ooh, that's a fun one to say. I'm so pumped to get my, I did my selection. I'm just waiting to get my box of clothes. I can't wait to try it on. At the next Bombfell ad, I'll let you guys know how it all goes. I'm super excited. And I don't even have to go to the store and tell people what sizes I'm looking for and ask strangers for help. Bombfell.com/mighty. So we're back from a bathroom break, and you notice
that.
Yeah, that
smoothie makes me have to pee every 45 minutes.
My diet of needing to drink, and I think partially from being a stoner and being a stoner who is trying not to snack.
So
I drink like 3 gallons of water a day.
So this is not discussed enough, but this place, Los Angeles, is the driest fucking place in America, and it is like the weed capital of the country. So if you're here and, you know, like you're a weed person, you're smoking weed all the time and, you know, like it's dry as shit. You will fall the fuck out. If my lips are getting dry just saying this sentence right now because I stopped sipping my LaCroix for like 10 fucking seconds.
You got to keep the lips wet.
You got to keep the lips wet or they'll crack and it's going to be a painful thing. You don't want it. And this place is it's a desert. It's a freaking desert. So you gotta fucking hydrate.
You gotta stay hydrated out here, dude. Yeah. You gotta fucking do you drink coffee?
I do not drink coffee, actually. I like the taste of it. It's just always been a little bit too strong for me in terms of the caffeine. I'm kind of sensitive to stimulants, like even like other like whatever recreational stimulants don't really agree with me very much. So, you know, like, you know, I used to drink chai, and I would make chai from, like, you know, grind up all this shit and make chai, like, every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With ginger and cardamom, the whole thing. And I'd use, like, the secret is carnation dehydrated milk. Not sweetened and condensed milk like you get at the, you know, Mexican store or whatever.
Right.
Dehydrated milk. If you make a cup of tea and you put that dehydrated milk in it, it will be like fucking creamy and awesome.
Oh,
and
shit.
Use honey instead of sugar. But
to make a glass of chai.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's that's how you got to do it. And then you got to grind fresh cardamom and you got to have fresh ginger and all that shit. Don't get the tea bags that have that stuff pre like in there or whatever. And then another little secret, black pepper. That's no secret at all. It's like a thing that goes in there, put a little black pepper in there.
Oh, that sounds fucking awesome.
It's really good. But I stopped drinking chai. I used to make that shit every day.
But
and
even that caffeine's got to you.
Yeah. Well, I got headaches forever, you know what I mean? Like, I've always had headaches since I was a kid. So, like, you know, it was an attempt to, like, be like, all right, we're figuring this out. You know, in New York, you live there and you live this, like, fucking brutal, like, trench life, you know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah.
And you just don't have the time or the wherewithal or the, you know, like, whatever to really take a step back and take care of yourself.
Well,
at least
also,
if you go like,
I have headaches all the time, like five of your friends are like, yeah, no shit, man. Yeah, there's fucking like, trains. Like, there's fucking, yeah, my neighbors exactly. are yelling all the time. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, and it's like 40% of your friends have migraines
in
New York.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like a stressful city to live in.
Very stressful city to live in.
It's so bougie and coastal elite for me and my, but me and my wife always say like, yo, New York in your 20s and LA in your 30s. Because it's like, you want to start going to grocery stores and farmers markets and hiking outside and sitting in your yard or being outside with your dog or your children, driving a car rather than carrying a stroller up and down a fucking subway staircase. Like, power to New York moms. That shit seems brutal, but I feel like as you get older...
But it's unnecessary.
it's as you get older, you're like, hey... and, like, I know L.A. traffic sucks, but it's no different than having to wait for, like, two F's in a row. Yeah. Like, or like two, like trying to take the L train in at rush hour is like just as awful. Yes, maybe it's cooler because you can like read the whole time.
Yeah,
that's like
man.
The fun. That's the welcome to like smoking weed and moving to LA for me. It was like reading is out the window. But I never have a time where I'm like on a train. So now I have to dedicate reading time. But I can read graphic novel.
You don't do audiobooks?
I do a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah, I do a lot of audiobooks. I mean, I read more. I listen to more books than I ever read. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I was always kind of a bad reader, honestly.
I was a very good reader, but then coming in New York, I was like crushing books and coming here. But now I can read fantasy and when I'm high, like, so I'll just like fucking open up. I have like, you know, that's my favorite genre. So I could just be stoned reading all day. Yeah, I fucking
love it. I'm a bad reader, but I'm a fucking champion TV watcher.
Oh, dude, I'm so good too.
Yeah, I watch a lot of fucking TV.
Oh, yeah. Do you have like, what's the like, weirdest or most off-brand show that's like you're obsessed with? Or
interesting question.
Whereas if you told the, like, if people found out about you, people would be like, really, you watch I have some fucking macho meathead friends who fucking love, you know, The Bachelor or whatever.
Interesting question, man. Like, I would say Mozart in the Jungle is one that I really enjoyed, but would be on the verge of kind of irritating me all the time, but I still would enjoy it. And
right.
That's
also,
like,
that's one that people are like, I don't know anyone who's watched Mozart in the Jungle.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
personally, and I watch, and I know no a lot of my friends watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And you're the first person I've ever heard mention Mozart in the Jungle, not just like referencing a billboard.
Totally.
It's an Amazon series.
Behind on it. But
that's cool as hell.
Another one that just jumped in mind where it's like, oh, like weird shit. There was one called on Netflix. It was like random Japanese shit like on Netflix called Midnight Diner Tokyo Stories or Tokyo Diner Midnight Stories. One or the other. But it's just like, it's an anthology show. It's weirdly actually like high maintenance, except that
It takes place at Tokyo Diners?
Yeah, it the center point is this one particular diner where, and it's about all the patrons of this diner, and in each episode they order a dish from him that has something to do with their own personal story, and it's all kinds of different stuff. There's one about a trans woman, you know, which I thought was pretty interesting to see it in the Japanese context. And there's ones about love, and there's ones about you know, betrayal and whatever, harsh Japanese parents, all kinds of crazy
shit.
Check out Tony Orlando's Midnight Tokyo Diner. It's called Tony Orlando's Midnight
Tie a yellow
special.
Ribbon around the old oak tree.
So go watch Tony Orlando's Midnight Special. it's on Netflix.
Are you smoking weed all day? Do you exercise?
Yes.
Do yes, I know. Yeah. Well, that's the thing for me. I don't ever smoke weed at like 11 in the morning and then never smoke weed again the rest of the day. Right. So for me, it's whenever I start is like, I'm doing it until I go to sleep. Yeah. So
but you weren't talking about exercise though.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you exercise? High?
You know, my whole life, John, I've not been a fan of exercise. but you know what's funny? I'm a skinny guy, right?
Right.
But if you're a skinny guy, you get, I've always had the exact same body type. I'm literally an elongated version of my 7-year-old self. I've never fucking changed. And as hairy, too. Just as fucking hairy, because I'm Pakistani. And we get hairy at like 7.
That is so cute. Oh, I'm picturing a short nightmare. Version of you with that same beard. And that's cute.
Dude, I was made fun of for having hairy legs because I lived in Thailand. My Pakistani parents were like, let's raise this kid in Thailand among these seals. They're like, they make you look like a fucking Sasquatch, yeah. Bro.
I have a sumo guy's body, like not to stereotype, yeah, but like, because it's big, I'm broad.
Oh, that's Japan. I'm hairless. Oh, fuck.
I just know Asian people are traditionally hairless, not just Thai.
They're
people.
Very, they, yeah, they're very, yeah, no, 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 yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm just playing. But
no, I know there's no Thai is Muay Thai. I know where every martial art comes from. And that's what makes me woke, because I watch so many action movies that I'm like, oh, you mean Pancrate, which is from Greece. You know, like the fact that that's how I know cultures is via their martial arts.
Yeah, no, that's actually a pretty cool way to keep track of shit, I gotta say. That's like the most badass way to keep track of Asians is by their martial arts.
And it's not weirdly racist at all.
No. How else are you gonna keep... I have had to keep track of white people after, you know, growing up in another country. It's objectively something you gotta do. But
football teams. That's the way to do it.
So, what was I saying about Thailand? Man.
Oh, so you were hairy, hairier than those other kids.
I was a hairy kid, so I exercised, right. Wow, holy crap, I had to take like a real journey back there. But
not to get you thinking about mortality, but like as you get older, have you had to add exercise?
Now I gotta do it. The thing that I still am fucking terrible about it, man, it's the thing I gotta like... I'll like run and like I'll do it 3 times like with it, you know, in a week and a half, and then I'll just not do it for fucking ever. And I have like a membership to the climbing gym, you know, and there's a bunch of them around, and I am climbing with some buddies who are there, a bunch of photographer dudes who I like worked with a couple of them on Bon Appetit, and you know, they're into it. So I've been doing it with them and it's really fun. It's like, you know, it's encouraging to like have people around and be like, yeah, you know, like cool, like get into this thing. And
yeah,
you know,
it's
like
a good exercise for someone who starts out skinny. Because you can kind of do it a little bit, and then you just get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Bro, yeah. I am built like a fucking lemur, right?
You have long limbs?
Yeah, I have long limbs and I'm skinny and like, but As I get older, it's like, you know, that thing where like I feel like all my organs are sliding down and like, you know what I mean? Starting to give me like, I wear long t-shirts, right? And now because in a combination of bad posture, my organs sliding down and not exercising
Doc, like my organs are dropping.
Right? In this long t-shirt now, like my belly sticks out a little bit and I'm conscious about it because I'm looking at tape that people are filming for me. Sitting down of me standing there doing stand up, and from that angle it looks really bad, and I was like, I'm a skinny guy, what the hell. I never thought I'd have to worry about this kind of
shit. Yeah, but by the way, there's a part of me that's just been fat since I was 12 just going, good, I hope. Yeah. Welcome to the fucking, you had it
this
so easy.
yeah no, totally. I mean, I think I fucking deserve it
it's one of those things too that I talk about this way too much on this podcast, but it is new to me that I didn't realize how much it did for my mental health just doing physical activity, like going for a long walk, or now I've been running recently. It's like just something I didn't realize how much it did for me mentally, confidence wise, and feeling a little better being 10 pounds lighter. Like I had no idea. I know people always used to say like, oh, if I don't exercise for like a week, my head's not right. And I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck this guy's talking about.
Bro.
And it's like, this is so annoying to hear. And then I just in the last year, like, became that guy who I'm like, I do feel better when I'm like exercising emotionally.
What's your exercise? What do you do?
I've been running a lot, but normally I just lift weights. But even that just makes me feel good.
See,
yeah.
Both those things are so boring to me that like running, I know I should do it. I know I should just like go to the park and run once a week. Once a fucking week, if I did that, I would feel better all the fucking time. Man, this is a thing though, you know, to take a wider lens on this. you know, I have continued throughout my life with this struggle of like being unable to like. Okay, I started flossing regularly when I was like 27 or 8, right? Because yeah. I had a lot of cavities and they were like, you just do it. And I still haven't,
and I'm 36.
Yeah? Yeah. So I do it pretty. Oh, actually, I have a really stupid tattoo, actually.
Oh, that's really funny.
But this I got.
Let the record show he has the word floss backwards on his chest. Yeah, so and when you look in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it reminds me to floss, right? So. So like, you know, that I was able to instill that habit. I've tried so hard to instill others, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The smoothie thing, that's
a good habit.
Yeah, that's a good habit, because I used to wake up in Thailand when I was a kid at 4:30 in the morning to go to school. I was unable to eat breakfast at that hour. My right. whole life, I could not fucking eat breakfast. And now I have a smoothie and a joint every morning, and it's like, fuck, I feel a lot better.
Right. Even just like eating healthy, because that's like the same thing I say to anyone who's trying to eat healthier. I'm like, just pick a healthy breakfast and make it every single day. And you can live with one, because it takes away decisions in the morning, and it just makes it like 1/3 of your meals for the whole week are healthy. So it's like just doing something small like that. And that's a good habit to have, is like, you know, like if you have that every morning, you're not ever having cereal once or sausage, egg and cheese once. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a smart move. And then that's the kind of shit that you realize as you get older. You're like, a day where I don't have my smoothie is like when a day.
Yeah,
it's not
you're
as gonna
good be like, fuck, where's my fucking smoothie?
That's my fear of like smoking a joint every, because I would love to just like, because I love weed and iced coffee together so fucking
yeah.
much.
Man,
so much. The Seattle Speedball, the Poor Man Speedball, the Sativa Speedball, whatever people.
The Seattle Speedball. Yeah, I've heard that before.
I fucking love it so much. And like, so often I, at like 4-ish p.m., I have a joint and a large iced coffee and kind of work for the next 3 hours till my wife gets home. Like, but that's more work I could do while I'm high, like writing and fucking sending emails and recording ads for this podcast.
It's interesting, man. I don't know if you find this too, because you go to a lot of weed stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, a lot of, and I hang out with people who consume a lot of weed, do dabs and stuff. So like, I don't really do dabs at home anymore, because dabs have become my going out thing, because I need something to do when I go out. Because if I start doing dabs at home, like, I have nothing to go out, like, you know, like, and like get fucked up on, you know what I mean? In a sense, it's like I smoke flowers at home, like, generally, and you know, I also enjoy that process more. I keep my tolerance like pretty low, you know.
Yeah,
what
I don't dab either. I vape for convenience sometimes, like at movie theaters, or like you know, fly with it or whatever. But I'm all flower and pretty much mostly joints, but like all flower.
Yeah, me I just too, like joints all day. Yeah.
The reason I started smoking weed was because I liked the switch to something more natural than like, and it was so unprocessed. And then I'm like, just buy organic raw paper, and I feel so good about it. And then it's like, then when I get a vape pen, I'm like, what is this exactly? And like, it just doesn't feel the same as like, this is a plant that I'm putting in something.
And you know what the thing is? Another thing is, I don't, like, pre-rolls in general, like, these are pretty good actually. But in general, to me, the problem with pre-rolls is the reason they canoe, right? The reason they canoe is because their freshly rolled weed is like not totally dry. It's still like a little bit wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it like burns, has a nice fucking long, slow burn in a joint. But pre-roll, very often, if it gets dry, if it's not vacuum sealed correctly, you're fucked.
Right. And you can tell when you get like a box of sort of dry pre-rolls and you're like, fuck, yeah, they burn a little harsher or whatever. Yeah. I stuff these palm leaf blunts with whatever flower I'm buying. Like, for example,
those look good.
I'm a little less discerning. Like we got all that Wonder Brett stuff from the cannabis.
Oh yeah, shout out Brett. He's a homie.
Yeah, he's got some good shit. And I just like ground it all together and rolled some joints, like we call them salad blunts.
Yeah,
where it's just
yeah.
like I just was like, it's so much good stuff, but it was only like a gram of each. So
I had that, dude. That's so funny you mentioned that because I just smoked the last of that. It was still sitting on our coffee table in the little tiny jars from that weed dinner.
Yeah, yeah, they're so good. And I was like, really this is such a dick move. This is like so many good different
but it was
strains.
Probably good.
It was. It's fucking bomb. It's great. Yeah, yeah. It's a nice salad. It's all quality shit being made. You know, you just it's like, is it sativa or it's a hybrid. It's a mix of literally everything,
dude.
What do you have, like, because you mentioned you always roll it with OG. Is that because you enjoy the flavor of the OG family so much, or is it because the effects of OG you enjoy a lot?
Man, you know what I always say,
or it's habit.
I always say you follow your nose. You know, as a weed consumer, this is why with the whole thing with recreational cannabis in California being pre-packaged and you can't smell or touch the weed. That's the thing is, if you're going to find the right weed for yourself, you got to smell it. You got to look at it. You got to be like, oh, does that speak to me? You got to look at it. You know what I'm saying? Look at a fat nug of it and be like, is that going to be good for me? Your body will tell you if you want it or not. If you want to consume it, you're like, oh God, that smells so good. I want it. If you're like, I could take or leave it. You know what I mean? Like, you follow your nose. There's a lot of bullshit names and strains and all this different stuff. But in the end, there's a number of chemical compounds that make up the stuff in this fibrous plant that, you know, it's going to speak to you.
We're talking terps at this point.
We're talking terps. Yeah, we're talking terps and cannabinoids or, you know, whatever you might want to say.
Right.
Generally,
right.
We're talking terps when you're saying... follow your nose and smell what's in there, because that's why it's producing those smells. It's telling you what it's going to do for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do that. And to me, you know, smoking like gassy weed has always been a thing in New York. Sour Diesel, you know?
Yeah.
Man, like when I look back on how much harder it was to just maintain a good personal supply of weed in New York. I always had weed, but it was kind of a struggle at times.
This is I can't tell if the game change in legalization and my financial situation occurred at the same time, where I got like adult money at the same time as weed was like, as I moved to California and got my medicinal card. And I was like, I don't think I could live not like this anymore.
Yeah,
I don't think I can live being like, oh, I hope someone can drop off a six pack of beer this weekend, because I didn't realize that I only had one left last week. You know,
like,
because it used to be such a problem when you needed weed in New York, where you'd be like, even if you had money, and it, you would still be like, all right, so I need $160 cash, which is not easy thing to come by in when you're using debit cards all the time. And then you're like, and I need to be free for like 2 to 3 hours, because you never know how long they're going to take. And like, that shit never lines up if you're like a freelance kid.
Yeah.
And then also having the money and then the foresight to be like, oh, it's going to be Friday night eventually.
Yeah,
yes, it's
right?
Wednesday afternoon, I'm free. And then you're like, oh, I didn't even get weed on a Friday night. Now I got to do a Friday night without weed. It's like,
oh boy,
I can never go back from where it
you
is
know,
now.
Old habits.
I can never go back from having... the mega drawer.
Oh,
you know?
That's a nice drawer. I mean, like, old habits die hard. I still, like, when I'm getting in my car to go somewhere for a little bit or going, I'm always like, make sure I got the fucking weed. Like, it's like, to me, it's like one of the most important things
it's
in
like
my
wallet,
pocket.
Keys, cell phone, weed.
Yeah, and you're like, don't make sure you have the weed, because back in the day, if you went out and you, like, didn't have your weed, it was going to be a pain in the ass to get weed, you know?
Right, yeah.
But now it's like, I don't even think about it. I was like going to Malibu the other day and was like, okay, got my fucking weed. And in my head, I was like, if I forgot my weed, I would just stop at a fucking store, at one of 50 stores on the way, and just buy some. You know, it's like, that's pretty great. I mean,
it's like
I'm glad we're there. But I mean, again... there's definitely issues with
recreational
cannabis. I
hate the new packaging stuff. Like, I was going to talk to you about this. It's funny that you mentioned that. I never even connected that, like, you can't smell it. You can't, like, feel it.
You can't interact with it, you know?
I bought pre-rolls, and I can't even figure out how to get them out.
Get out of here. Let me see that.
No, these are a little more complicated than I want them to be.
And then you literally haven't been able to get this open?
No, I just bought it today, though. I was trying it while...
Yeah, dude, this is insane.
Right.
Why? Oh,
so
my God.
So I have no idea how old the joints inside can even be.
dude, no, thank you. This is absolutely...
I got a case like that because Vegas was the first place I saw these kinds of cases.
It literally has on the diagram for how to open it, which is like, it's like Watchmen. It's like a fucking entire...
It's like four panels, yeah.
It's like an entire
I really couldn't even hash it out. So what we're talking about here, this is such like, but in California, with the recreational legalization of weed, there was like a law put in place that they all had, the containers all had to be like childproof. And they are like, it's insane to like, I mean, I don't mean to shout out companies, but like, it's impossible to get a cushy punch, like a piece of a candy out now because it's like, it's in like five levels of fucking wrapping. And it's like, don't even think about the environment when you think about like opening a package of edibles requires like six Trader Joe's plastic
I'll tell you what, man. If a child gets into this packaging, they've earned the
fucking
joint.
They deserve the right. This yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah.
Because they're smarter than
I
am.
I'm about to put a fucking screwdriver in it and hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, seriously. This is ludicrous, man. But you know what? What I can appreciate, dude, is that... the times continue to get weirder. And that, you know, like, that sounds weird to be like, no, we want things to be, like, good all the time. It's like, yeah, you know? And we thought they were. Remember, there was a time just a few years ago
right,
where it was like, you know.
Things are going great.
Yeah, it was like, wow, things are going great. Okay, there's a slogs here and there, whatever. But then, like, it, like, twists into weird. And I think that... it's just a pattern, you know?
Yeah.
Things seem to make sense. They seem to get weird. And, like, the whole weed thing is just, fuck, man. That's just the weird thing that's happening right now.
Right.
There's all kinds of weird shit that has happened and that will happen.
It's going to keep changing.
Yeah.
We were worried if we sounded like stereotypical stoners before. Now we're like, guys, things are going to keep getting weird and keep changing.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out, brothers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I am so high right now.
I'm super toasted. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's the goddamn truth, man.
What if someone's listening to this doesn't smoke weed?
Yeah.
What would you say to them? What would you say to them under the auspices that you were trying to get them to blaze?
What I would say is that the fundamental chemical relationship between this plant and your brain supersedes every bullshit construct that you believe to be real. From every, you know, belief you have, every institution that you trust your life and safety with, it's all just fucking bullshit obstacles between the very, very nature of your perception and the things that have been laying into your environment to attract you and augment it in some way. And if you don't engage that, then you are not living. Truly, in the sense of that word, you are not fully living and perceiving to the capacity that
your
brain
allows you. To
oversimplify,
the fact that your brain can do it and it is so positive means it's crazy that you're not doing it. This is hyperbolic comparison, but it's like orgasming, where it's like, wait, you know how it, like, it feels really
and
good.
You know
why
what?
Would you choose not to do it?
And you know what? Yeah. People stop themselves from doing that too, John.
You're right.
You know, for no fucking reason, people... You know, we've criminalized,
if priests were allowed to come, I'd be okay
right?
with it. Yeah. Wherever they wanted, that was legal.
Yeah.
Instead of like having to like,
dude, we haven't criminalized pleasure with all this kind of crazy, like thinking. We've criminalized fully engaging our fucking brain capacity to perceive, man. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the thing. That's the thing that psychedelics allow you to do. That's the thing that, you know, like ancient fucking tribal ceremonies allow you to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the things that have been damned by, you know, modernity in some ways are the things
that take
you there.
Like any break from reality, like reality is the only true reality. This is so, now I sound like a stoner, but like that's what modernity or like law or like civilization is put on top of. That is just like, no, reality is all that matters. And it's like, well, what about what's going on up in here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because I only just did mushrooms for the first time within the last year.
Wow, what was that like for you?
It was fantastic.
Yeah Did you do a lot of mushrooms?
I think I did I've done them twice now in the last year, and I did like the right amount for the first time once, where I just felt mega high.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize I was like seeing colors and like things that weren't really there, but nothing like why. Yeah. And then at Bonnaroo I did like a fair amount with some comedians, and I was like a long periods of time of just like, how long have I been talking to you? And like, my face hurts from smiling. See, and like laying on the ground feels awesome.
Nature? Have you been in nature doing it?
The first time was camping and it was awesome.
There you go. That's the way to do it. I think that shit will really change your perception a lot. I mean, like, you know, I did mushrooms as a, you know, like late teenager, perhaps the first time in high school at some point. And like, you know, then in college experimented with a lot more psychedelics, and then they've really opened up, like, you know, my thinking on a lot of stuff. And now at this stage in my life, you know, DMT is really popular and it's everywhere, and it's like people are doing it, and I'm so curious about it, and I've read about it so much, and I'm fucking terrified to try it. And like, you know, it's like
I'm the same way. Like, yeah. I want to do it so bad,
but I'm wondering if it's psychedelics. I've done a lot of different stuff, and I've been really, really lit on crazy different things, and I've been to weird places on psychedelics. But there's something about it that just scares the fucking living Christ out of me.
I feel the same way as you, dude. But I'm not as experienced. I've only like
I
really want to try DMT just based on everything I've heard about people who use it and all that. But I am truly afraid, and I think it's because it's like too real.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I'm scared it'll get too real, and I'm
And in a lot of ways, I like know and respect and believe all of the things that it apparently teaches people when they do it. I'm completely on board. 100%. I believe it. I believe it takes you to crazy places and lets you meet spirit beings. I believe that all that shit is happening.
But do I want that?
Yeah. And I'm like, and I think, you know, I do, but I don't know. It scares shit out of me. I'll come around to it at some point.
It's definitely my, like, in my last will and testament is to be like, fucking load me up with some DMT.
But I feel like
I think I'm gonna end up doing it before.
The point is to do it and, like, you know, clear your fucking head, you know, in some senses, as it's been told to me.
I mean, I've seen the shit like where it like kicks addictions and stuff like that.
You know, and I definitely, like, you know, I have a feeling that it might help with my headaches. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But
does
you
weed
know,
help with your headaches?
You know what? In some ways,
in the distraction way.
Yeah. Well, it definitely does relax me, but it also dehydrates me out here. So it's like, you know,
which is not good for headaches.
Is not good for headaches.
I have like some stomach issues, which I think like are, you know, just like IBSD or whatever. And I find that weed really helps. But I don't know if my shit stuff is also anxiety induced, you know, like I've like not shitting at home anxiety. So
I feel you, man. I think weed
helps me with that a lot, because it feels like it settles my stomach, but maybe it is just the nerves part being settled too. But whatever, even if it's a placebo, like I tell my wife, I'm like, I'm sorry, but my stomach feels like shit. I gotta go smoke. Like, and she's like, do you just like say that because you smoke like all the time? I'm like, I know, but right now I do just need, I need,
man,
it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what though, I do not like to poop in toilets that are not my own toilet. I mean, like, there's some places where over time I can be more comfortable,
right?
You know what
where
I mean?
It's like, but a place that you've been a lot, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. Like, I have to work at a place for like a year before I'm like, okay, that toilet seems like it might be
Some people can just fucking, and then it's like the difference in just like relaxing and the enjoyment of taking that shit, which a lot of people don't admit that, like, you enjoy taking a shit, but you know, You do. Everyone enjoys seeing this shit. Everyone likes it.
At minimum, you enjoy sitting for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's like nice to take a load off, literally.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, like,
I love to burn one on the toilet, dude. I do it every once in a while.
I do it all the time.
Like, in a, like if a morning dump with a joint in your mouth and you come out and you're like,
or like very often with me, it's like yesterday's, like, you know, like roach leftover or whatever, and I'll like look at Reddit and, you know, fucking smoke that, you know.
I fucking love that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's true. And some people can just like barge into any fucking place and like drop a deuce and then come out and just be totally like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta go home and boil myself.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I've had to like add baby wipes to my backpack, and that's why another reason why a fanny pack or a little kit is great.
I remember having like the whatever pack of baby wipes or whatever and putting it in my coat be like before I go to work. You know what I'm saying? Be like, oh man, I hope I don't have to shit at the office. It's like it like sounds and people and there's people around. Yeah. It's terrible.
Especially once as you learned, like you're a host of a show and it's like, you know, like when am I going to get a time to shit? Because everyone's going to be looking for me. I'm going to have microphones on me, like, or wardrobe.
You know, that's true.
I'm like, fuck, I'm going to, if I have a coffee, which I need right now, I'm going to shit in like an hour or so. And fuck, all right, I got to hold it till lunch.
Yeah.
And then at lunch, I'm like, oh, can I take the mic off? You know, and like disappear for like a half hour.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta talk openly about pooping with your whole production. That's the key. You got to be like, all right, guys, we're going to break a couple things down. I poop two, maybe three times a day. Yeah.
And I need 10 minutes minimum each time. I come back out and I'll work super hard. I'll look at scripts
not
or whatever.
Not a word. Yeah. When I come out, not a word about where I've been.
Yeah. I'll look at scripts if you need me to look at scripts while I'm in there. But when I come out, I want nothing. We don't talk about what happened in there. I want it to be like, nom.
Yeah,
we just know it happened.
Like, don't
don't ask.
Don't ask what happened in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to wake up so early and time my coffee, and I insist on having breakfast like almost right upon waking up.
What do you have for breakfast usually?
Two hard boiled eggs and I make an iced coffee. Like I make like an iced
two hard boiled eggs and an iced coffee.
Yeah,
it's literally like a dick and balls. Like in,
it really is in shape.
It's like
it really is phallic. Yeah, yeah. It's, if I set it up,
it's like
right,
a chode and balls. But yeah, no, that's so.
I hold the eggs in my hand while I drink the coffee out of the straw, and I roll the eggs around in my hand while I slurp the coffee down the straw.
But yeah, so
my wife can't watch me do it for some reason.
So does two hard-boiled eggs have everything you need in it for the morning, meaning until lunch? Like, is that like
yeah?
Enough?
It's just enough. It's just enough protein and like. So I don't feel hungry, and also it gives my kicks my metabolism in, like it makes my digestion go. So I'll eat my breakfast, drink a coffee, and then be like, I can't leave this house for another 45 minutes. Like I need, I don't know if it's gonna happen in 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Like I have one upon waking. Of course, this podcast always turns into me talking about pooping, but I have one upon waking, and then one or two more. But I could usually leave the house at that point and ride it out all day long.
Totally.
But then production, when it's like a 6 a.m. call, I'm like, I'm fucked. I'm shitting like a little bit every hour until I go to bed.
The whole cycle's off. Exactly,
yes,
man.
Yes, dude.
And then you're like, I mean, waking up too early for shit is like that. It really does throw off your whole thing, like your digestion. But back to the hard-boiled eggs thing.
Yeah, no, it's a weird thing. It's an old meathead thing.
No. I appreciate it, but you know what I was thinking is that I would want some like kind of like carby thing with it. So you know what they should make is an egg-sized potato that you can boil with the fucking eggs, right? That will boil all the way through. So that you like throw in two eggs, throw in two of these little egg-sized potatoes.
Yeah, they would probably have to be even smaller, I bet, because
to cook through.
But you throw like three in there, and then you have two hard-boiled eggs and two little mini potatoes.
Yeah. You pop them in, and then you know what? You can inject those with like some sort of flavoring.
We gotta inject these breakfast potatoes before I go to bed, so they're fully.
And the way you do that is you'd put a syringe in it, and using that syringe, you'd hollow out the center of this tiny egg-sized potato, and then you'd
put some
dump that shit out.
Rosemary in there,
and then you squirt in some fucking flavors. Yeah. You know? Sounds and pop it in your mouth.
Oh, dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Right. I, to be honest, I'm purposely not eating carbs in the morning. You know,
right,
or, yeah,
sure.
I do better without grains all day. I think it's gluten, so I could probably make potatoes part of it, but for me.
Yeah, that's why I said potatoes. I also think, and again, this gets back to me turning into a fucking dick bag out here.
Yeah, just turning into a total coastal elite, baby.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
welcome to the fucking club.
I'm like, let them eat cake. I'm going to eat this fucking...
I like avocado as my dessert.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
You're talking to a guy who like makes himself a little bowl of almond butter at night. It's like my healthy dessert.
Yeah, no, that's good though, man.
I'm trying to like change my idea of what a treat is.
Yeah. No, that's good though. That's like, you know, you gotta fucking care.
But I'll fucking mow down a pint of ice cream like, you know, once a week. By I'm just like, once in a while I lose control of the reins and it's like, fuck, this is gonna be a problem to get this guy back in the barn.
Oh, wait, and that, I mean, the dairy part of that is what gets me, man.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm such a fucking old.
Cheese fucks you up.
Cheese, dairy, milk, like ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah, I can allow myself a little bit here and there, but it'll just like my head will just fucking.
Oh, the migraines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
everything centers on that. You know, I remember someone telling me a story one time that they said like this guy got Botox injections for his, you know, his migraine shit. Like, you can get that in the back of your neck. And then he went to the doctor and he was like, yo, ever since you gave me those injections, I think something's wrong. Like, you hit some weird spot because I feel like euphoric like all the fucking time. And he was like, you're not euphoric. You just don't have a fucking headache for the first time in your goddamn life.
Oh, my God. That's wild.
Yeah. And that story always gets me. I'm like, oh, my God. Am I, like, miserable as shit just because I feel pretty good all the time regardless.
Well, that's kind of how I felt about, like, yeah. So now you have to, like, eat healthy and not because you're getting – because you're a skinny guy, as you're saying. Like, you have to eat healthy because, like, it's the best way to be yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt.
It's all about the headaches, man.
Yeah. Well, for me, gluten was all about – eliminating fucking a morning spent on the toilet. Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
yeah,
for real, like,
man.
I didn't realize I had like,
hopefully your
I
own
had,
toilet.
Like, I had IBSD for like a long time. I'm like, no, my life is that I wake up and I have like major diarrhea every morning. And I'm like, that's just my life. I guess that's it.
And then stopped like, eating fucking bread and that
then
was
I stopped
it.
Eating gluten and added probiotics and, you know, started eating more vegetables. And all of a sudden I'm like, This is what other people are talking about. Like, this is why people are
normal
not,
life.
Yeah, holy shit. And now I'm like, now I'm got to be the guy that's like, oh, I can't have 7 beers on a random night. Like, it has to be like, all right, well, tomorrow you know what's going to be happening.
Or you have to drink gluten-free beer.
Yeah, or just tequila or red wine. That's what I try to keep it to.
Or you can not drink alcohol, man.
Just
it's terrible
cannabis,
for you. Just smoke
dude.
That weed.
I love it, man. That's my wife and I.
Ugh, I'm a total fucking zealot, man.
Yeah, me too, dude. It's helped me a lot in my life. It's really helped me.
Yeah.
The fact that it just makes me drink less is probably the thing that's going to save my life the most.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I regenerated the nerves in my fucking shoulder, which were all fucked up from a stabbing. I was stabbed in the throat.
Where?
In Baltimore, Maryland, many years ago, 2007.
Jesus.
And it cut a nerve in my arm.
How?
By a mugger who was trying to steal my cell phone. It was like a pack of kids, basically.
Oh.
Me and my buddy were very drunk, and we were just like stumbling through. It's a long story, but the point is, it all went down, you know what I mean? With a glass bottle, I got stabbed in the throat from behind. But like, basically, I couldn't control between my chin and my elbow on my right arm, right? And then I was just like, and they prescribed me OxyContin. And I said, I don't want this because I read the news and, you know, I give me something lighter or whatever. So they gave me a bunch of Percocets, which still I feel like I was taking too much of and it was like a weird thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, I mean, I was smoking weed a lot the whole time. I was kind of like agoraphobic in the wake of it. So I was like just staying home smoking mad weed, you know, and my arm fucking works again. You know what I mean? And they were like shocked at this shit. And then they, like, years later, they're like, oh, the neuroregenerative capabilities of cannabis. It's not like 100%, but it's like 80% to 90%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
and I just got like some like CBD roll-on stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
My wife, like, she's like, my neck hurts, and she's like, well, I'll hit it with that, and she'll like sleep through the night.
Yeah,
works on
yeah.
me, dude. I've been using it on my fucking back and stuff. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
CBD stuff. You know, honestly, if you get CBD or CBD flowers or whatever, and just like put it in a jar with coconut oil or olive oil or something, and boil that jar for 2 hours, and then strain that shit out, right? You got yourself fucking CBD tincture, CBD oil.
Right.
And you can do that with regular weed too, right? Obviously.
And make THC weed oil. Butter or weed
yeah,
oil,
and then
yeah.
rub that shit all over your whatever. You know, use it in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Honestly, like that shit is like, you know, if don't you, instead of using some sort of store-bought lubricant, if you use like CBD coconut oil or something, bro. Consider that a tip. You know, that's one for, you know, thank me later. But
have
seriously,
your partner thank me later.
Yeah, if you yeah. like lather up with some wild like cannabis olive oil and
yeah.
fuck, yo.
Damn, dude.
Get the fuck down.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's great. I recommend it.
Coconut oil works well.
Yeah, and imagine if all you have to do is infuse that coconut oil with weed.
Oh.
And it makes it like a crazy, like, out of body experience.
Yeah. Do you ever try fucking on weed?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I cannot remember the last time I fucked not on weed. Yeah. Crazy.
Same.
Maybe never. Maybe never had sex not stoned.
What if you hated it?
Yeah.
You're like, ow.
Because it happens at the same time. You like, you know, it's like you're a teenager. You smoke weed for the first time. You start getting laid.
Right.
Suddenly you're like, wait a minute. I've never done this sober.
Yeah.
I just really like smoking weed. That's what I found out. The sex is not good if you're not stoned. That would be a crazy realization, you know?
Hell yeah. Oh, fuck.
Wow, dude. This dragon drinking whiskey is fucking crazy. It looks very like sexual somehow.
Yeah, it does. It does look a little bit sexual. He does look like he's performing yeah. oral or being fucking reamed out or whatever.
And you got a full portrait of the guy on the Jack of Clubs.
St. George.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right? St. George is the guy who slayed all the dragons, I think.
Oh, this is all dragon situation.
Yeah, it's not all.
Wait. So this is in the Bible that there was this guy who slayed a bunch of dragons, St. George?
I don't actually know. Maybe I made that up.
No, but I mean, clearly there's a picture of it, and his name is St. George. So
right.
I mean, maybe he's not in the Bible,
but he's maybe in like stories. I forget. Or maybe he was a king, and that was like the rumor about him. Like Charlemagne was the god king. And this guy was like St. George.
So it's in the Apocryphes, right?
I'm out of my depth. I don't know shit about it.
Yeah, I don't know shit. Yeah, I've literally, it's like the education of like a weekend of History Channel that I'm speaking from.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling off like 5 years of Catholicism and it's taught in like,
yeah.
they're not telling you any of the fun stuff.
But there were dragons in the fucking Bible, huh?
Were there?
I mean, in Bible stories.
I would imagine, right? There was giants, David and Goliath.
Oh, yeah, sure. But you know what's interesting is like...
Or are they just fables?
The dragons, like the serpents and shit, those are like symbols of like spirituality in all of the like ancient religions and
yes.
shit.
Yes, yeah.
Are you in, you get down with some fucking wild...
I love everyone's... what's the dude's name who I love? It's Graham Hancock.
Graham Hancock, yeah, my fucking guy.
I love some random, like, fucking Joe Rogan-esque.
Dude.
Not again to be in the stoner territory, but I love the... whether or not I truly believe it doesn't even matter to me.
Nah,
I just love the theories of it. Like,
I'll tell
them.
You what. They have fucking stereotyped us... into being like, oh, if you think that, well, there's aliens and you're on drugs, or like, you know, people who are on drugs, see aliens.
Yeah, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah,
yo, what if that's fucking reality? And you know what? If the purported reality that we're all supposed to believe is reality is so fucking real, then how come 90% of what you know you have zero physical evidence of, because it's been told to you through some form of media, and you only know really tangibly, physically, like 10% right. or less of what is really in front of you. And then again, even if you trust your perceptions, which is your vision, your limited range of vision, your limited, range of hearing and yeah. smelling and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? You trust that. You trust that reality, and you don't trust like the inner and outer like experiences that are achieved through natural substances. You are lying to yourself, America.
Right. Yeah, that's what's fucking crazy is leaving that shit on the table, leaving that option on the table. Yo, I'm getting let's wrap this motherfucker up.
Yeah, wow. We went to some wild yeah, places we got there. Today,
so
John.
Weed. That's the topic.
Weed will take you there.
Yeah, but see, I fucking love that, man. I love talking about bullshit. It's very fun. It's very interesting.
Yeah, except it's not bullshit. It's all true. Right. Yeah. The CIA invented AIDS.
Oh shit. I love it. Now we're into this is a whole nother fast. Of High and Mighty is when we get into conspiracies. I'm gonna float you. We'll get out of here, but before that, I want to float you my latest conspiracy that I've done no research on, and I know I say this like once every 4 weeks, listeners, but I still haven't done any research.
Is it
Melania is KGB?
Whoa!
And she was set implanted in like elite rich people a while ago, and they just the KGB accidentally bet. On the fucking, and this dude ends up making a run for president, and then with their help on the fucking Facebook and election hacking, or whatever. And then Melania wants out. She's an agent. She's like, this is too much. And Russia's like, no, fuck this, dude. You're the first lady. You're in the White House.
Yeah.
Like, you got to stay. That's like my fucking.
Yeah. You know who's suspicious to me is Barron, right? I feel like he's, you know, like he might be like a sleeper liberal in the, you know. Like,
that's why, that's what he is.
Yeah, he's
like, goes to him like a prep school and then like meets like the kids of some artists.
Yeah.
Some rich New York artists or whatever. And they're like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, you can like.
Yeah, yes, then he reads like Asian, you Jack like Kerouac or something.
Yeah, and he gets into
like,
some cool shit.
Yeah,
and then hopefully that's. Oh, I like that.
We have faith in you, Barron. You know how they write like biopics about periods in presidents' lives and shit? Someone should write a future biopic about Barron Trump. Like, be, you know, like,
someone should write
then
a movie.
Fixing all the fucked up shit that his family did,
yeah.
You know?
Oh my, that'd be an awesome campaign to run on. Yeah. Trust me, I'm nothing like that monster.
They're going to be like, Trump 2037 or whatever, yeah, you know, yeah. Like they're gonna be like, what? He's like, oh, it's Barron Trump, actually. Yeah.
He's like, no, call me Drumpf.
Yeah, right. He's like, I'm not gonna anglicize my name. I'm gonna go back to the original.
Yes, I understand. What's the name of your podcast again?
Great Moments
in Weed History.
It's called Great Moments in Weed History. That's right.
Listeners, check that out. And that's a nonfiction podcast, right?
Yeah. So in that, Beanstalk, David Beanstalk, who's a cannabis journalist, old school guy, he tells me a story in each episode from the history of cannabis. And we talk about it and shoot the shit and we get really stoned. And the histories are really interesting. I mean, stories like, Phil Akuti getting out of prison, getting into and out of prison back when he established his own nation within the borders of Nigeria. How Bob Dylan was the guy who smoked out the Beatles the first time and basically launched that whole phase of their career where that was all psychedelic. It all happened in one go. And they used Ringo Starr as their test dummy, kind of course. It was part of the story. Carl Sagan and Lester Grinspoon. Carl Sagan was a big, big pothead, and it's like a story about him. So yeah, that's all.
That's cool
shit
as hell.
In there.
Yeah, listen.
There's 12 episodes, and we're working on our second season coming up soon.
And that's awesome. And I'm your kid on Instagram, and
yeah, I'm your kid on all platforms, and that's me.
Oh, well, hit us up with your weed habits or your healthy weed-based breakfast.
I want to know.
Or your dream wake-and-bake situation. Or your, like, what You know, that's the good question we should be asking other stoners. What's your favorite weed pairing? Because mine is, I really like weed and iced coffee together. Mm. Yeah,
I really like now weed and just cardamom water, like just boiled cardamom and honey.
Ooh, yeah. I like, because I like weed and tea. Because yeah, I can handle like some
I don't drink caffeine, so right, I don't like, exactly. So now, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm
what
such
about
a
like
douche.
Hot cinnamon water and, or hot mint water?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that's a good call, man. Yeah. I got to go pick up some mint.
Yeah, dude, I just got myself excited for some fresh mint. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking scoop some.
Oh
yes.
My God, we're such pricks.
Dude, we're not LA douchebags, but we got to go. We got to go. We got fresh mint to make mint tea to go with our weed. Our top shelf fucking cultivated weed that we enjoy.
Most excellent.
Dude, this has been so fun, man.
Yeah,
thanks
likewise,
man.
Thank you so much. This is great. I
check
to
out,
do this
and
forever.
If you guys haven't watched Bon Appetit, that's how I fell in love with this dude in Rye.
It's on
great,
Hulu.
It's a really fun show. It's on Hulu. And Vanessa is the third, right?
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's
you guys were fantastic. And
thanks
it's
so much,
really,
man.
I also learned about good chefs from the show, too.
Yeah, it's all mostly LA chefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some really talented chefs, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shout out Fatima Ali.
The thing that I wanted the most that I saw you guys eat on that was the halved pineapple that those dudes...
Oh, yeah, Trap Kitchen. Yeah. That's right, man.
That's the dish I wanted the most that I saw you guys eat. And I wanted to smoke the sushi blunt because that looked fucking cool.
Oh, man, yo. So my man, Yo-Yo, roll that blunt. That is actually maybe the most, like, memorable, like, the most viewed clip of that show. Is the sushi blunt. Like,
well, people, you have a master sushi chef rolling a blunt. Yeah.
And dude, the blunt was so good. It
well,
was
and you
so
and,
good.
I mean, you and Rye fucking filling it with just like THC distillate,
and
fucking live resin
it.
Butter. I know.
And I remember me and Rye pretty much finished it off. There was the second half of it. Like, I don't know what happened to it. You know what? I think one of the PAs took it, which I'm happy because that was, you know... That was great. That was a fun thing on the show is, you know what? You give PAs weed, your whole set's happy. So right. Shout out to all the PAs out there.
Right. Dude, you're like, hey, look, here's free weed for right when you're done.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it was a weed show. We had a lot of weed.
Yeah,
you know?
That fucking cabinet. The dream cabinet, dude.
So I would give them weed and, you know, trickle up, bro. The PAs are happy. Everyone's happy.
Dude, well, Abdullah, thanks. Wait. Abdullah.
Close enough, bro.
Abdullah, medulla oblongata.
Still good.
Yeah, I'm so close.
Medulla oblongata, I can never stand because the thing is, if it's the first thing someone says to me, I'm like, that you're the least imaginative person. I'm glad we went through a whole hour of madness before you pulled it out. You're good. Right. If it's the first thing someone says to me, I'm always like, yeah. You know, like I know it's from Waterboy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is like that kind of. Now that I've said it, it has a little bit of earworm quality where I'm like,
get
it out of my head now.
Story of my life, bro. Medulla oblongata. Right.
Well, thanks for coming on, brada.
Thanks for having me. This was super fun. You're a fucking G, by the way. John Gabris. For all people out there, this man's a fucking G. This man's a true
legend. Check out my podcast, High and Mighty.
Listen to all his shit. Stop this and listen to all his shit. Shit. He's got
go
eight
listen
podcasts.
To Great Moments and Weed, and then come back to me.
Do it all. You got.
And if
time.
You're not watching High Maintenance, watch High Maintenance.
Yeah, watch High Maintenance on HBO.
Sake. Yeah, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.